Hi, this is Claudio from Coheed in Cambria, and you are listening to the All Things Coheed podcast. I am the unfun one of the band.
Welcome home to another episode of the All Things Coheed podcast.
I'm Devin.
And I'm a guy named Rob.
Hee hee, ya booty. Hey, Devin.
Hello there, Rob.
I am so excited for today's episode. What are we covering today, Devin?
Man, we are covering the My Brother's Blood Machine ash can.
Oh my god. We have been waiting for this for years, literal years, since My Brother's Blood Machine came out. Like, we had no idea it would ever become a comic. We knew it was a story. We'd love to hear more. If you go back and listen to our episodes on My Brother's Blood Machine, we talk about how much we want to see this in one form or another. And it's finally, it's all happening. We knew that a comic was coming. I believe last year we heard inklings of it. And now it's just, bam, official. We have an ash can. We have art. We have a really, really beautiful book. There are quite a few changes, which I'll be glad to get into once we start. But this is really, really interesting. But before we do all that, how about we take a look at Merch Monday on a Friday? Go ahead, Devin.
Oh, heck yeah. So this ash can was a San Diego Comic-Con drop. This came out SDCC, sold those 4 days, and then 500 copies were released online, and they sold out, I think, within an hour. It was really quick. These moved fast. I don't know if they'll have them at New York Comic-Con. Kind of hope they'll have at least a few for those who are planning to get one there. But this is created by Claudio. It's written by Steve Niles. The art is by Andrew Ritchie. Your coloring is done by Adam Metcalf. And it was edited by both Claudio and Chandra. So you have the Evil Ink team on this one.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, I'm just flipping through the book. It's so pretty.
It is. It is really, really pretty. I love the way the pages feel, which is hard to describe.
I hold the book mainly with my my thumb and fingers on the covers, and I just very delicately push the pages apart because they are like slightly textured, almost like that second stage vinyl. Like, it has that matte feel to it.
For sure. It's like coarse. It's like a coarse page. Wow, we're at the point where we're describing page feel. Just think about that for a second, Dev. But God, this book, I'm just so happy it exists. You know, we saw a tweet recently, basically, as a teaser for San Diego Comic-Con, they showed a little bit of, like, the first main page of the story in the ash can, which is really cool. They show, like, Margaretville, and they show the kind of time period with the 60s. It is something really to behold, and I just can't believe I have one. I'm not going to disclose how I got one, but I'm holding it in my hand right now, which is nuts. It's a really small book, you know, like we said, it is an ash can. God damn it, it's cool.
Well, Rob, since you have one, and I have one, I think we should give one away.
You want to give one away? What do they have to do, though?
I think they have to follow our social medias, and then, if you're listening to this, so the giveaway is up. Go check out our medias, but turn those E's into threes, because that's how we do it. All things Coheed.
Dude, I'm so stoked. These things are going to be stupid rare.
I know.
Like, I'm sure you get that all the time where you're just like, I'm going to buy this vinyl that there was only like 100 copies made. And then you just get it and you're like, well, this is going to go up in price. This is an investment. If you ever need money, it's like you have it in a storage unit. It's crazy.
Yeah, I'm just, pawning my Coheed merch to myself.
That's what it is. You're the collector, dude. This is insane.
But, okay, so let's, I talked about how I was holding it on the covers, but let's talk about the cover. The sun on the front cover is actually the same design as one of the tarot cards.
Yes.
Le Soleil.
The sun.
And on the back of Le Soleil, on the actual tarot card that came with the CD version, is Who Watches the Watchman and Wayne Andrews the Beekeeper. The old beekeeper.
You know what's really interesting about this cover? The first thing I noticed is the fact that it's not black. It is not a black cover. This is the same pattern and design as the leather cover of my brother's Blood Machine.
Absolutely.
With the gold inlay, just like in My Brother's Blood Machine. And this has blood splattered all over it.
Absolutely. And then on the back cover there, you know, there's like this mini sledgehammer attached to a scythe with two other knives attached. And then one of them's like a Bowie knife. And then the other's kind of just like a standard blade. But then there's one that has a slight curve. It looks like it changes formation. Honestly, it's like if you took the Coheed and Rider weapons of choice and mixed them together.
It's more a Coheed's main weapon, right?
Hammer. Well, it's not like a hammer. It's like a mini sledgehammer. It really is.
But no, it does have it's got a scythe shape to it, which is really interesting. Like, it is a very farmy feel, I think.
Right.
That aside, let's talk about this. Because the fact is, when you sit here and look at it, there is a great departure away from the story that we had been led to believe was taking place. As far as setting goes, as far as art style goes, it feels much different than to what we had thought of before when we thought of My Brother's Blood Machine plot points.
Correct. And we're going to do this in kind of a cool way. At least I think it's kind of cool. We're going to give you a bit of an audiobook. So if you have your ash can, you can actually read along with us at home. We're going to cover all of the background information that the story provides, and then we're going to go into our analysis of these few pages that we have here that I have not stopped thinking about since this book ended up in my hands.
So let's go ahead and dive right into it. Margaretville is preparing for its annual jubilee. The citizens bustle about their small town in anticipation for the big event. Even as they cast nervous glances towards the shadows, an unsolved missing persons case has been troubling the normally quiet town.
The secrets of Margaretville run deep. And as police begin an investigation into their only witness turned suspect to stifle the small town gown, they stumble into something far more disturbing looming beneath the surface.
Cecilia McLeod is desperate to run away from Margaretville. Haunted by a dark family secret, she feels betrayed and longs to leave the simple town and start a new life with her boyfriend, Glenn.
Gunner Recall, abandoned by his family as a child, is now barely 18, yet he's the only suspect in the disappearance of Victor Fontana. Gunner claims his innocence, but the police don't buy it. He was the last one to have seen the victim alive and was found holding some of his property.
Martha and Arthur McLeod are mother and stepfather of Cecilia. Arthur is set to be named Man of the Year at the Jubilee, is hiding something sinister behind his salesman's smile. Martha is a homemaker, dutifully raising her three children and actively involved in the community, including preparations for the town's jubilee.
Moses Early is a lifelong resident of Margaretville and mechanic at McLeod Motors. Moses is the closest thing to a historian the town has to offer and is not quick to believe the rumors about Gunner Recall.
And of course, the Blood Machine, a ramshackle device created by the Bleem brothers deep within their hideaway, built to separate the souls of the living from their mortal bodies as an offering to a god they believe has abandoned them. Outcasts of Margaretville, the Forsaken brothers are certain that they will earn their own redemption with blood.
Our sending text on the back of the book. Sometimes the monsters we think we see in the light are just cover for those hiding in the dark. Coming soon. Oh my gosh.
Devin, we have to talk about this. Things have changed dramatically. Let's dive into this. I have to talk about this, okay? So, first off, we have to point out that they've fucking... Okay, here's what they've done. They have Willy Wonka in us, okay? You know the machine that has the everlasting gobstoppers? And they throw a sheet over it in order to, like, keep Slugworth from figuring out, like, how the machine works?
Sure.
They don't want to sell their secrets? At the very last page, they have a black and white rendition, like a black rendition. It's ink blotted over, essentially, of the blood machine. It's super high contrast. You can't make out any details other than these meat hooks, and you know this thing is massive. Like, this thing has to be, like, at least, you know, 12 feet tall. It's a super tall machine, and I never expected that I'd be able to see what this thing looked like. But, God, it is so fucking cool. Couple things that stand out to me immediately. The fact is, Cecilia is no longer with Johnny Early. It looks like he's replaced by a kid named Glenn. We don't know if Glenn is Moses Early's son or anything like that. We know for certain that Arthur is calling his darling daughter Cecilia darling, and it's like taken right out of the album. So we can assume that that's mostly intact, but they don't name Long Arm and Butchie in this, which is interesting because there's not a name listed in the lyrics either of Long Arm and Butchie. So are they going to be named differently? Who knows? I mean, this is a whole other thing. Gunner Recall is very much different than what I anticipated him looking like. We have a full picture of him, kind of more like a mugshot than anything else. And Margaretville is like a late 50s, early 60s town. Like, what is happening right now? Oh, the one thing I want you to notice, Devin, the one thing that's going to blow your mind. You ready?
Yes.
So if you look on the blood machine page, the very last page, what is above the words the blood machine?
Oh, that is La Justice, card 7, 78, and to be continued is on the tarot card.
It is an attribute to Lady Justice, right? The thing about Lady Justice is that she wields a sword and she also wields scales, you know, to show like swift justice. But do you know what's different about this Lady Justice than every other depiction of Lady Justice ever? She's not blind. She doesn't have a blindfold on. It is literally one of the three things about her, okay? With Lady Justice, you have to have scales, you have to have a sword, and you have to have a blindfold on because Justice is blind.
Interesting.
And I find that really, really interesting that they chose not to have Lady Justice blind. And it could factor into the story somehow. But I find that to be something to ruminate on.
And the fact that it goes in tandem with the silhouette of the blood machine.
Yes.
I mean, that alone, blinded or not, is just a powerful duality.
It's not blind justice. It's just the justice they're seeking. I don't think they really mind who they put in the blood machine, to be honest.
But going back to what you said before about the time period, it's March 15th, okay, because it says that the Margaretville Jubilee is March 16th. The story picks up a day before Jubilee in 1968. So we have an exact date that this is occurring. And we can also kind of imagine that this takes place on Earth. Right. So if we think that maybe we're still going to get that Inferno plot line, he was telling the story on present day Earth. Maybe this ties in. But I kind of just feels like they're going in a different direction altogether, but a very, very twisted, sinister, like this is what I want from Evil Inc., you know?
Oh, they thought about this, by the way, because March 16th, 1968 is a Saturday. So the story takes place on a Friday. Interesting. That's why everyone's at work.
Yeah, everyone is. And actually, that's like Cecilia's plot right now. She's dropping off food for her stepfather.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets very uncomfortable very quickly.
So here's the question. We have one page that's at the end of the comic because it's a very short comic. It's like 3 or 4 pages, maybe.
Are we really jumping ahead to this right now?
I do want to talk about it.
Okay.
Because, like, yes, like, you have the newspaper that says they're gunning for Gunner. You have Moses Early, who's a really interesting character, but he just seems like support at this point. We already know what we need to know about Arthur. He's a real scumbag, okay? But I do want to talk about this because it's interesting. There's a character that we don't know his identity at all. We can assume it might be Gunner. It could be Gunner. But there's no distinguishing features. We see a man running through the woods with his shoes covered in blood. He falls into a pit with bodies in it. So the question really is, where is he coming from and how does he end up here?
My interpretation of this scene is someone who just survived. I don't think, from what we can see in the blood machine, I don't think anybody walks out of there. So maybe they survive an attack from Longarm and Butchie, but his head is split open in that last panel. So yes. He just ends up with the rest of the bodies.
It reminds me of Texas Chainsaw, like a lot of Texas Chainsaw. Because as they get deeper and deeper into the house, they discover more and more terrible things that have been going on. Bubba starts killing immediately in Texas Chainsaw. Like, he takes the first person and just, you know, puts them in the cooler. And then as they're exploring the house, they're seeing, you know, hey, look, this is a chair made of bones. And then they find, like, the head of their friend, or they find their friend frozen inside of inside of one of the deep coolers. It's like discovering more and more when they think they're safe is a common trope in those movies.
Right.
So I think this lends itself that way. And it's going to have a Texas Chainsaw feeling to it because there's these two people obsessed with bodies, like obsessed with killing people. And it's ramshackle. They dug a pit and threw bodies into it, you know?
There's one thing that we have yet to mention, and that's actually the Merch Now or Evil Inc. web store description of this Ashcan.
Ooh.
So it says, Ashcan preview book for the upcoming My Brother's Blood Machine comic book series from Evil Inc. A new league of slasher horror is coming. A teenage girl is desperate to escape from an abusive home. A high school misfit is wrongly accused of murder. Two mutated brothers who believe their blood-powered machine has a direct connection to God and will grant them normalcy with their sacrifices. Margaretville is troubled, but they have no idea the disturbing truths looming beneath the surface of their otherwise picturesque town. So they're talking about Longarm and Butchie, right?
For real. They are. They have to be. Not mentioned by name. I'm interested to see if they change names. But I do want to say, I'm not seeing the connection to the Amory Wars that I thought I would. And perhaps they're saving it for the last page or whatever. But I think we'll see it. I think we will. This story is too tied in my mind personally to the Amory Wars that I don't think they could make this without it. Because what's the end goal, Devin? What does the last page look like of this book if there's no Amory War? Longarm and Butchie win, you know?
I mean, it says a new genre or a new era of slasher horror, right? So I'm thinking slasher horror, I'm thinking Final Girl. Okay, so Cecilia is obviously going to be our Final Girl.
Well, according to the original, like back when we really delved into the comics or delved into the story of My Brother's Blood Machine, there was always this idea that 78 is about her being hunted down because Longarm was in love with her. So I don't know. I hope that she is a final girl. I'd rather her live somehow.
I agree. I think it can end, you know, obviously we have the home life being rough. And maybe the final confrontation of the story is, you know, one of the mutated brothers, her stepfather, and her all around the blood machine. Somehow, some way, stepfather ends up in the blood machine. It's the final victim. And maybe once the town is clear of the evil that resides in it, the blood machine from God has subsided and no longer needs to function. Through death is their salvation.
I like what you're saying. However, I will not be happy with this book unless a certain scene is included. And that scene comes directly from the album. Cecilia washing the blood off of her body and deciding to murder her stepfather. And then Long Arm and Butchie holding a lantern in the woods, noticing her burying the body. That has to be in this book. It has to be in this book. Because that is such a powerful statement to make, to bury your abuser. But it also gives Long Arm and Butchie their real gumption to take down Cecilia. Because they notice, once they notice her, they're like, well, she's next. And it really gets the story going, I think.
I mean, based on the ashcan alone, man, I think regardless of what we think is going to happen, our expectations are going to be so different from the reality of what we get. And that's going to be in a good way for sure. I can already tell that this is going to be an absolute banger of a series. I believe it's going to be 6 issues.
6? That would be fucking tense, dude. I'm excited. We don't have a date as far as when these are coming out. I mean, maybe in a few months. If it were me, I would, if I ran Evil Inc. Comics, I would be like, let's make this during Halloween or like around Halloween time.
New York Comic Con is in October.
I mean, New York Comic Con would be a great opportunity to do so. Yeah, let's hope. Let's hope. Let's see what they're going to send it at New York Comic Con. But if they don't show anything new at New York Comic Con as far as an issue for this, I think we can probably safely say no world, right? An ashcan for no world?
No, I think that would detract the focus.
You know, you're probably right. You're probably right.
As much as we, you know, been waiting so long for My Brother's Blood Machine, you drop no world. I'm still going to pick up Blood Machine, but...
They'll tear that thing to pieces, dude. If we got a no world ashcan, how long is this episode going to be? Like 30 minutes? If this episode's like 30 minutes... Our No World episode is going to be 3 hours.
For real, man.
Just for the ash can.
Just for the ash can. But no, I mean, the art is like, it makes you feel like you're reading a comic book from the 60s. The colors the colors are on point. They're all very pastel and it feels right. Everything about it is...
Well, you know what? It is a pastel color scheme if you put a gray filter over it.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Like, something dark is in this town. Like, you look at the Margaretville Jubilee page. That's not, like, a baby blue sticking out. Like, that's gray. It's interesting.
I want more. It's such, yeah. This is such a good tease. Who the fuck is
Victor Von Fontana?
He's missing. I think he's the most recent victim of the Blood Machine.
Right, but like, where's Wayne Andrews?
I mean, they haven't introduced Long Arm and Butchie. They still have to save some surprises for the actual series.
I mean, sure. Fucking love this book. It's a great book to look at. This is a great piece of art to own. If you can get your hands on one, get one.
Absolutely. And if you are collecting all things My Brother's Blood Machine, there are 3 vinyl. There's a yellow, opaque, gold-looking one. Looks like honey, really. There's standard black. And there's a yellow and black swirl. And then there's also the CD, which contains tarot cards, which pair very nicely with this ash can here.
Yeah, if anyone gets their hands on some tarot cards, at me. Please and thank you, at me.
Can't be simping out here like this, Rob.
Bro, I need to find them. They're like one of my favorite pieces of art. Even if they're like, I just want to laminate them.
Laminated.
I just want to keep them, you know what I mean? Like, I want to keep them from getting hurt anymore.
Yeah, you just keep them with the CD. It has a little pouch for them.
Well, I think that wraps up this episode of the All Things Coheed podcast.
Yes, yes. We have so much more coming your way. We took a little bit of a... Not necessarily a hiatus, but a little bit of a break. There was a lot of Coheed things happening in the physical world that we were just not around to record for because we were doing those Coheed things and some other life stuff. You know how it is. We're ready to get back into it.
We sat down with some members of the community and listened to some theories about Baxis 2. So if you're really invested in the story there, we did sit down. It was a ton of fun, even though Devin couldn't make it with us. But that should be coming out eventually.
Yeah, we still have to release our Vax's Act 2 story explanation, where we take each chapter, give you a summary, so you can get up to speed before you can join us on our All Things Coheed Crackpot discussions.
Well, thanks again for joining me, Devin. I love doing this podcast, and we do it oh so often. I think that's it for this episode of the All Things Coheed podcast.
I'm Devin.
And I'm a guy named Rob. Thanks for joining us. And I think that's it for this episode of the All Things Coheed podcast.
I'm a guy named Devin.
And I'm a guy named Rob. Thanks for joining us.
Let's do another outro.
Why? That was perfect.
No.
There's like a sepia tone to it, right? Like it's yeah. Like, imagine Breaking Bad, but sad. Like, I don't know how else to say it. Like that. It's, they're. One second.
For sure. I'll take that line again.
It's good. It's good they thought about. Are you there, Debbie?
I'm here.
Welcome it's home not, to another episode of the podcast.
It's not letting me be on video, though.
That's cool. Can you do the hand raise thing?
Yeah.
All right, cool. That's fine. I'm cool. All
right.
Welcome home to another episode of the All Things Deer Hunter podcast. I'm Rob, and this is Rob. Hi, Rob.
Do you have the thing that I sent you with the parts that we're going to read, respectively?
No.
Send it in chat. Is it easier if I Facebook message it to you or if I put it in the chat?
Put it in the chat. Bless you, child.
Of the fence.
You're such a dweeb, man. I love it. You like that Kobe band, don't you? Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah, intro it.
Do you want to do this first?
No.
No?
No, we'll do, we'll intro it, we'll talk about merch, and then I'll go into the people who worked on it, and then you start reading, and then we'll just go back and forth, and then we'll talk about the story inside.
Sure. Devin, I think that's just about what wraps this up. Sorry. I think that's wrapping up.
It's just like the Great Destroyer Tour.
We'll do okay, so just it'll be a bit, yeah, until we do that. So I'm going to stop recording now.
Okay.